turn to our continuing part four and concluding message on the 18 messianic prophecies in the Jewish Bible. And we're going to be looking at the remaining passages, the prophetic passages, especially during this resurrection season as we commemorate the cross work, the resurrection of our Savior. We're going to be looking at those points in the Word of God, beginning with number 8 in your notes, regarding the prophecies fulfilled in the cross work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you that may not have your notes, let me just share with you that we have some others that you may be able to find there. Turn in your Bibles to that great prophetic message in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, speaking about the cross work of our Savior, looking at number 8, the Messiah was to be silent before his accusers. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 7, God's word says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." That silence was a silence, in effect, of judgment. Because they had heard his testimony. They had heard and had opportunity to hear the truth. And they would stop their ears. And you know, there's a biblical principle there. That there is a sin that is called, enumerated in Matthew chapter 12, the unpardonable sin, in which a person says no for the last time. No one exactly knows when that is, but it is a sorry state for the non-believer to be in a place where the Spirit of God will no longer strive with man. We're warned about that in the evil days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. But could it be that there are some listening to my voice that have heard the gospel and the opportunity of salvation over and over again? And the Spirit of God is no longer bringing conviction. You've cauterized your heart against the truth of God. Here was a group of people. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The New Testament prophesies the fact of our Lord's silence before his captors. In number 9, notice with me that great additional prophetic passage of Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. These are great verses to bring to the attention of Jewish readers to understand the unity of the two covenants and their testimony in unison about what Jesus did on the cross. The Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah. Psalm 22. And verses 7 and 8. Notice the Word of God says that the Messiah was to be smitten and spat upon by his enemies. Psalm 22 and verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. I ask you, dear saint, have you been ridiculed by friends and family and neighbors for your stand? Have there been some young people that have been made fun of because they don't run with the crowd, listen to the music, go to the dances, go to the rave clubs, go to the booze parties? Are you ridiculed because of your stand for the Lord? Are there pastors in pastoral conferences or perhaps ministeriums that are being ridiculed because you'll not go along with the ecumenical alliances that you are encouraged to partake in? Are you standing for strong doctrine and biblical separation, and you've become perhaps the laughingstock of the ministerial association in your community? You know, the scene may vary according to your age, but you know there'll always be that reproach that we bear. And look at our Savior. He went through it. They shot out the lip. They shot out the lip and made fun of the Savior. Literally in the Hebrew, it says that they separate the lip. They separate the lip. That's a Hebrew idiom for sneering and jeering. And that's exactly what our Savior went through for us. But yet He loved us. And they shook their head and they said this, He trusted in the Lord. The word trust means to roll on to the Lord. In other words, Jesus turned His burden over onto the Lord, that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighteth in him. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, and verse 6, we have an additional scripture that speaks of what Jesus went through us. Oh, as we are meditating upon the crucifixion of our Savior, this week, may we meditate upon all that He went through for us. Isaiah 50 and verse 6, the Word of God reads, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. Jesus had a beard and they plucked His beard. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Messiah was to be smitten and spat upon. And the Roman soldiers did all of these things. If you look back at Psalm 22 in point number 10, you'll notice that our Messiah was mocked and taunted. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8. He was mocked and taunted. And we read that scripture where they shot out the lip and shook their head saying, He trusted in the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighteth in him. And yet it was God's will that He should be there on the cross. And Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Sometimes being in the will of God involves suffering. Suffering for the will of God. The Word of God says, let him that suffers according to the will of God commit their soul to Him in well-doing. And certainly He did that for us. You're in Psalm 22. Look at verses 14, 16, and 17 and see the prefigurement of the crucifixion. 1,000 years before crucifixion was practiced. Notice what it says here in Psalm 22 and verse 14. Describing the crucifixion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. The describing of the tremendous searing agony and the tremendous pressure that is placed on the cardiovascular system as a result of being stretched and tortured and thirsty and beaten and the loss of blood. Literally, our Savior and all He went through is prefigured here in verse 14. Notice the Word of God continues in verse 16. Dogs have compassed me. Dogs being a reference to Gentile non-believers. They've compassed me. The assembling of the wicked in a wider scale, even including those who were unbelieving Jews, they enclosed. And then notice, they pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced my hands and my feet. Some Hebrew texts add, like a lion. What calamity, what pain, what difficulty our Savior went through. Look at verse 17. I may tell, in other words, I can see all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. Oh, what love our Savior had for us. You know, we're living in a brutalized society, aren't we? What other time in society, unless you look at the Roman gladiators, has there been such a violent society today? Our society can look upon violence and see horrible things and think nothing of it at all. We've totally disassociated ourselves from human suffering. And a great deal of the delight that people see on a lot of cable TV and all of this stuff, even among young people, are people doing stunts and doing idiotic things to hurt themselves. And people actually take pleasure in the sadomasochistic culture in which we are living in. Very, very much like the Roman society, seeing and receiving pleasure at the expense of the pain of others. And we see that today. And certainly, this was the society that brought this about. But we see the crucifixion prefigured. Then, notice in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. You'll be turning back to Psalm 22, so if you want to put a piece of paper there, that's fine. We'll be looking at some other scriptures. But look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and verse 12. Here's what the Word of God says. Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Our Messiah was to suffer with transgressors, and he was to pray for his enemies. And certainly our Lord suffered between two thieves. Notice what it says in verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Not only did he die in the midst of sinners, the two thieves, but that was just a microcosm, a small illustration of the fact that he was numbered with the transgressors during the incarnation, wasn't he? When he came and assumed human flesh, while not being a sinner, he identified with sinful humanity. And he assumed a human nature. He was numbered with the transgressors. And certainly at the cross as well. And notice it says he bare the sins of many. Many is used figuratively to speak of the multitude of those, not the elect, like some would like to say, but the many that certainly compose the human race. And it's used in that sense. And he made intercession for the transgressors. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How to a T these prophecies were fulfilled in the Word of God. Look at Psalm 69 and verse 21 for another passage of Scripture that ought to be of such significance in this resurrection season that we are preparing for. Psalm 69 and verse 21. The Word of God says the Messiah was to be given vinegar mixed with gall. They gave me also gall for my meat. Anybody know what gall is? I know you think your husband has lots of it. But gall is actually a stupefying drink. It's a numbing agent that was mixed with the vinegar as an act of mercy to help people to cope while they were going through the crucifixion process. And our Savior rejected that stupefying drink. Why would that have been? Because our Savior wanted to go through all of that agony and torment with a clear mind and a clear understanding. He was to drink that which the Savior was intending for him to drink. They gave me vinegar to drink. Number 14. They cast lots for Messiah's garments. Notice the Word of God says here in Psalm chapter 22. Just turn back a few chapters back. Chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. They cast lots for the Messiah's garments. You know, our Lord didn't have many things. Foxes have holes and the birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The very few things that he had were given to him by Mary and Martha, the loving ladies that may have helped him in benevolence and that which was procured by the love of others, and yet the few things he had, his vestment, was they cast lots for his garments. Then the Messiah's bones were not to be broken. And this was in fulfillment of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 46. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 46. In one house shall it be eaten, thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. And of course, he was the Lamb of God. He was slain, the perfect. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. They were going to break his bones to hasten death, but the soldiers found that he was already dead. Then, number 16, the Messiah was to die as a sacrifice for sin. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and notice the various scriptures that we have before us here. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. That's the Hebrew word, pierced. Another picture of the crucifixion. Notice the phrase our here. Our transgressions. This is substitutionary atonement. He did this for us, you see, on our behalf. He was wounded for our transgressions, your sins and mine, put Jesus on the cross. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Notice what Jesus did. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The substitutionary doctrine of atonement. Look at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Verses 10 through 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. In other words, it was part of his will. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Our Lord's death was an offering to God. Not as the Seventh-day Adventists teach in the satanic ransom theory that it was somehow paid to the devil. It was paid to God. He shall see his seed. You know something? You're his seed. You're his offspring. If you've been born again by faith in Christ, yes, he sees his seed. He shall prolong his days. Do you know that that's a reference to the resurrection? God prolonged the days of Jesus, yea, into eternity, raising him. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied by that which our Savior did on your behalf and mine. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Here, many is used in term for the whole, but certainly those who would receive it. Not all would receive that provision. Have you? For he shall bear whose iniquities? Their iniquities. That includes us. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Number 17, Messiah was to be raised from the dead. We're going to be looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ this coming Lord's Day. But suffice it for this evening to present this prophetic portion of Psalm 16 and verse 10. The Word of God says, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." That's the word Sheol. Sheol, more than a place, is actually a realm, the realm of the dead. Our Lord would not remain in the realm of the dead. "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." That certainly was referring and quoted in the book of Acts, as we will see, of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to be resurrected from the dead, and that showed that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And He ratified every promise that He ever made, even those that are yet to be fulfilled. And where is Jesus now after His resurrection? Look at Psalm 110 and verse 1. Psalm 110 and verse 1. "The Lord said unto my Lord." Here you have Yahweh speaking unto Adonai. "The Lord said unto my Lord." Both terms of divinity, but a distinction in their personhood. That's critical in understanding the Trinity, you see. One in nature and essence, but separate persons. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand," the place of privilege. And by the way, the high priest never sat down, but when he entered into the heavenlies, he sat down at the right hand of God, because your salvation and mine was a completed transaction. "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And that will be fulfilled at the millennium as our Lord comes and rules and reigns with a rod of iron. Isn't it wonderful that He is at the right hand of the Father? But someday He's going to come with His saints, the Word of God teaches, to establish His kingdom. And then He will reign, and His enemies will be His footstool. What a glorious time to be able to share with Jewish individuals the significance of Resurrection Sunday, this coming Lord's Day. May God grant us that opportunity. And many of you that have Jewish friends and neighbors and loved ones, send them a card and include this particular study. I think that they will find it very significant at this resurrection season. May God bless us. Let's go to prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it's forever settled in heaven. And Lord, just as in detail Your Word was fulfilled in these sacred pages, Lord, of Your Word, we know that those verses that pertain to Your second coming will just as literally be fulfilled. Thank You, Lord, and as John the Apostle prayed, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Thank You, Father, that we can rely upon Your Word, whether we're going through trials or testings. Lord, we serve a living, risen Savior. And He lives. And because He lives, we have a living Savior that we can lay our burdens and needs before, knowing that You'll care for us. If there be one that does not know Christ as Savior, may these Scriptures open their eyes of the understanding of truth and come to the Savior, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen.